Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us at MileHighSports.com. Listen 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3. Reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products, Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. Looking for wholesale lumber to the public? Go to RMFP.com. Looking for a hot tub right now? You can find one literally right now at Hot Tub Outlet. They have a huge inventory of hot tubs in two warehouses ready to sell right now. Other hot tub places in town cannot say that because the supply chains have broken down and they don't have the inventory. Generally speaking, you're going to have to wait 8, 12, 16 weeks. I've heard as long as July or August. The owner, Tracy, was smart about this stuff. She got ahead of the curve when COVID hit. She made sure the supply chain would not break down with her. And that's why they've got 15 different models and truckloads of hot tubs delivered every single month. And don't forget, when you buy from Hot Tub Outlet, you're going to get hot tubs only made in the U.S. They have great quality and the best insulation. Go to Hot Tub Outlet in Littleton or HotTubOutletDenver.com right now. Now, if this sounds like you or somebody you know, don't wait. Hot Tub Outlet in Littleton. Time now for The Lead.
The Lead is presented by Marco's Pizza in Aurora, where everything is fresh, never frozen, like the dough and sauces to go with hand-cut meats and veggies. Order today at either location, off Smoky Hill Road or Quincy in Aurora.
Okay, according to CBSSports.com, a player who benefited from the Broncos draft is Aaron Rodgers, even though he's not currently on the roster for starters. Explain how he benefited. Was it not taking Justin Fields?
It wasn't not taking Justin Fields. It was the Broncos bringing two guys that can really help you right now. If you're in win now mode, having a top 10 pick used on a corner,
yeah,
who, even though there may not be a spot for him at this moment, is plug and play if you decide to find a spot in those top three cornerbacks for him. That's a win now pick. And then even more so, a running back early in the second round.
Correct, I agree.
Javonte Williams, he, even though he may not be starting for Melvin Gordon immediately, I ask you this, when do you think he becomes a starter? Because I think it happens sometime at midseason.
Well, is Melvin Gordon going to even get on the field for the first couple of games?
Well, he got off on his DUI.
And you don't think anything's going to happen with the NFL?
If something, wouldn't you think something would have happened by now?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. Let's see how training camp goes.
Yeah, let's.
But I think Melvin Gordon is running back number one. He is the veteran. That's the way Fangio likes to do things. The veterans will always be number one on the depth chart. Let's see how this kid performs.
Yeah, let's see how he blocks. Now, that's what's interesting. He may be learning pass pro by watching Melvin Gordon, and we know how Pat Shurmur values the pass pro part of the running back equation. We talked about Philip Lindsay earlier. Big part of the reason why he's not here. Look back at that strip sack fumble that Drew Locke suffered against Buffalo last December.
Right.
Philip Lindsay whiffed. A big part of why Phil is not here anymore.
All right. CBS Sports also praised the pick of Pat Surtain. This is what they had to say. Denver has the second most cap space in the NFL and a first-round pick every year, enough to take on Rodgers and his massive salary. The Broncos also have the offensive pieces in place to compete for the playoffs, starting with Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler, Tim Patrick, and, of course, Cortland Sutton, who's returning from injury. Denver also has a solid offensive line, even with Juwan James's injury. Of course, they have a new right tackle in Massey. As far as the running backs go, Melvin Gordon, tight ends, Noah Fant, and then, of course, Javonte Williams. With that, which situation is better for Rodgers on offense only?
Defense,
it is better.
Clearly.
It is better on the Broncos.
I was actually going to do the exercise with you that you did with me yesterday and go through the unit by unit and say who's better.
Well, I'll say this. They have the best wide receiver on either roster. The Packers do.
Davante Adams, yes.
They have the best running back on either roster.
Aaron Jones. Yes.
And they have the best tackle in Bakhtiari.
Bakhtiari is coming off an injury, though.
So is Cortland Sutton.
Right. And you would, some might say Garrett Bowles is the best offensive lineman on either roster. But Bakhtiari has more skins on the wall.
I'm not ready to say that.
Yeah, the thing with, to use John Fox's parlance, like I said, skins on the wall. Bowles has one outstanding season. Bakhtiari's got several.
Well, here's the thing.
And that's the thing. That's what you know that he is at that level.
Here's something else. Okay, so they have the best wide receiver, Devontae Adams. But who's the receiver 2, 3, and 4?
Then that's
I'm not so sure.
And that's where it's interesting. You talk about the depth.
You have depth. The Broncos have far more depth.
Who would you rather have as your wide receiver 2? Would you rather have Alan Lazard or would you rather have Jerry Jeudy?
Is Jeudy catching the ball this time?
We're going to assume that he improves.
I'd rather have Jeudy.
Like Zach Azani's guys usually do from year 1 to year 2 in terms of their drop rate.
If he's catching the ball, then I'd rather have Jerry Jeudy.
Would you rather have Marquez Valdes-Scantling or would you rather have Tim Patrick?
Patrick.
Tim Patrick catches everything.
Right.
And frankly,
there's no question. The Broncos have more depth.
You know who's on the Packers, by the way? Deep on their depth chart, third team.
Who?
Remember Juwan Winfrey?
Yeah.
He's a Packer.
Wow. Chad Kelly might become a Packer. Blake Bortles is a Packer. Right. It's become Green Bay is becoming Denver Northeast.
Well, they're northeast of here. Yeah.
As long as the Broncos can find a way to get Aaron Rodgers. On the list of veterans who benefited for the Broncos, Kyle Fuller. Mm-hmm. That's what CBS Sports write. So with that, how does Fuller benefit with Surtain on the team?
That was interesting because I'm not sure I agree with that, especially long term. And the reason why is this. Surtain, if he does well, he's going to take playing time from somebody. He's probably not taking playing time from Fuller, but he could be taking playing time from Ronald Darby.
We expect him to take time from Darby.
And it's possible that if they shuffle things around and you're looking to create space, that Bryce Callahan becomes expendable.
Wait, hold on a second. Where is Bryce Callahan at his best?
Slot.
Okay. And Darby would play on the outside, right?
Well, you'd probably be moving Darby to slot. If you need $7.6 million, that's where the whole thing comes in. And all the other thing also is with Bryce Callahan, kind of like a Bobby Massey. Bobby Massey
he's coming off a great year. Why would you get rid of him with all the cap space they have?
Because he's missed 22 games in the last 2 years.
I understand
Because Callahan, unfortunately, fails the simple test of the best ability being availability.
I got you. How many games did he miss last year?
He missed 6.
Yeah.
And he missed 16 the year before, and he's never played a full 16-game schedule.
Well, you know what? You don't know when injuries are going to come up, and you might as well have as many guys as possible. Because do you really want to go down to Ojemudia? Because that's a pretty steep drop after Callahan.
The point is, you're probably gonna be without Bryce Callahan for some games, and
you'd love to hear that.
But that's just the reality of it.
Yeah,
that's the reality of his career.
Maybe they can prorate his salary.
It doesn't work that way.
Yeah,
but
it doesn't.
You at some point you're gonna have to play without Callahan. But if you bring in Rodgers and you have some gymnastics to get everything done contract wise, that could be a spot where you say, okay, we could create some room there.
You think
with 7 points? Do I think it's likely? No, I expect Callahan's going to play, but it's not something that I would close the door.
Do you see Darby more of a slot guy than an outside guy?
I'd rather see him on the outside.
Okay,
the ideal situation is this: you develop a slot cornerback of the future this year, but.
Your lineup, what you want is Fuller and Surtain on the outside and Callahan as your slot guy.
And then
that is formidable, potentially.
That means you're paying somebody $10 million of Ronald Darby to be your number 4 corner.
They have $28 million worth of cap space.
And that would be right, but you don't maintain a good cap position, especially when you have a bunch of guys to re-sign by flushing $10 million down the toilet for a number 4 corner.
Who are the quarterbacks in the Broncos division again, just in case there's injuries?
They're good. Can you remind me again? Well, I think
Having great cornerbacks are a premium, especially if if you have a guy who does have an
injury
history.
It's at
a
premium, but the first. But what are we saying if Ronald Darby isn't playing? You're saying that was $10 million that you could have spent elsewhere.
You know what?
If Darby's not playing.
You know what? If Darby isn't playing, that means Callahan, Surtain, and Fuller are. You just looked at the glass as half empty. I'm looking at it as half full. If you can get a full season out of Callahan, and Fuller is what we think he is, and Surtain, and not what we think he is what he is. He's terrific. And Surtain, and Surtain can jump out of the gate as a rookie and play on the outside, and you don't even have to put Darby out there on the field unless you're in a dime package. My goodness, that would be unbelievable. I don't mind some guy rotting on the bench. I don't mind that at all. And where else are you going to spend it? Where else are you spending it? You're already $28 million out of the cap.
You're applying it to next year because you can carry all cap space forward.
I guess. I don't know if I want to shrink my cornerback room. If you bring in Aaron Rodgers, I don't know if I want to shrink my cornerback room.
Well, the thing is though, that's why I say if you divested yourself of a contract to create space, because of dead money, it wouldn't be Darby. It would be Callahan. And then you'd say, okay, how many games is he going to play? So if they were going to create more cap space to apply forward to next year, Callahan would probably be a more logical cut.
Okay.
Even though Callahan
We need to hit a break. But let me ask you something. If they pick up Aaron Rodgers, are they in win now?
They're in win now mode.
Then forget about next year. Win now. Win now.
But you're also trying to, but win now also means you're winning this year, you're trying to win next year and the year after. You bring in Aaron Rodgers, you are thinking 4 to 5 years. That is your window is 4 to 5 years.
You know what? I don't want to play for next year. I don't want, because you know what? Fuller's not going to be back next year probably. Right?
Well, that's where if you start getting some cap space that you can carry forward for next year, what if Kyle Fuller looks at it and says, I don't want to go on the market. I'll take less to stay with Vic Fangio and Aaron Rodgers. That's possible.
He might. But you know what? If you're bringing in Aaron Rodgers, that means you're saying we have the roster to win now. Then you take advantage of it right now instead of saying, let's have some money for 2023.
But would you rather have Callahan, Fuller, and Darby for this year, knowing with Surtain, knowing that you might not have Fuller and Callahan next year?
Yes.
Or would you rather say,
I'd rather go. Right. My answer is yes.
I would rather go Darby, Fuller, Surtain this year and maybe lose the Callahan contract if that means I can get Kyle Fuller back next year. Kyle Fuller to be on
the analogy
year.
I use all the time is this, and we got to hit a break. It's pancake batter. I want the fullest flavor of pancake. I do not want to thin out the batter with water for 2023. Coming up after the break, Mike Sandu of The Athletic went through every team's draft, reaching out to executives around the NFL for comments, all quoted anonymously. What did these guys, who we have no idea who they are, have to say about the Broncos? That's next. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive, Goodman, Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. You can also listen to the show, 98.1 FM and 107.5 HD3. I want to tell you about Denver Exotic Rental Cars. Weather is starting to get nice, man. You're going to want to go out for a drive, and while your car is probably great, would you rather drive a Lamborghini or a McLaren or a Maserati? Well, you have that option at Denver Exotic Rental Cars. You can rent a car for couple of hours. You can rent one for the day, for the weekend. I mean, drive a car you've always wanted to drive. Not everybody can afford a Lamborghini, a Ferrari, or Maserati, unless, you know, you're Andrew Mason.
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, your wife does well.
Yeah, but I'm not in that class.
No, yeah, but you're married to her. Let's move on. With that, if you want to get a car and rent one, I would highly recommend Denver Exotic Rental Cars. You can turn it into a Father's Day gift, a birthday gift, anniversary gift. Go to DenverExoticRentalCars.com or give them a call today, 720-722-1234, 720-722-1234. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Mighty Plumbing and Heating. Why does Mighty Plumbing and Heating have nearly 155 star reviews? No one has better service and they will meet or beat any written offer. Go to MightyPH.com.
Sometimes the best conversations, Mace, you and I have are off air because we actually continue to talk about this, and I think we have actually come to an agreement. I do believe you don't thin out the pancake batter, especially when you are in a win it now mode, but I certainly understand your point where you look at the salary cap for 2023. I think you and I are in agreement on this because I said to you, specifically in this division, when you have Mahomes and you have Carr and you have Herbert, you need to make sure that your secondary is top notch. And right now, I think the Broncos have the best secondary in football. With that, maybe you wait to see how Michael Ojemudia plays. If he improves dramatically, then you can make the case that for as good as Bryce Callahan is with his salary, he might become expendable for 2023. But if Ojemudia doesn't improve, you still have four pretty good cornerbacks on your roster. But if you, but if Ojemudia does not improve to where you think he needs to be, and you release to save money for 2023 on Bryce Callahan, one injury, and injuries happen, now you're down to Ojemudia, Asang Bassi, who's coming off a season-ending injury, and then I think you're in a little bit of trouble.
And that's fair. Right now, you could say, based on what the Broncos have, it's an even better kind of four-cornerback situation than they had in the Super Bowl 50 year, because you remember it was, of course, Aqib Talib, Chris Harris Jr., Bradley Roby, and then Kayvon Webster was capable of spelling anybody.
He's more of a special teams guy.
Yeah, but that, but he could step in and make a good acquittal of himself.
Yep.
And in terms of depth, it's actually better. Now, you don't have a future Hall of Famer leading that room like Aqib Talib or an all-decade guy like Chris Harris Jr. there, but your number four situation is much better right now than it would have been than it was back then. But the fact that you can take anything that you divest yourself of cap wise and apply it forward, that's something that always has to come into play. And if Ojemudia takes that next step and you can trust him as the number four corner, which means you trust him to go in there and play extensively.
But this is a guy who also got benched last year.
He got benched. But one thing that both Ed Donatell and Vic Fangio pointed out and was reflected in his play is that he was a much better player when he came back in. And sometimes you see that with young players. They have to play. They end up getting benched because they struggle. They're on the sideline. They're viewing the game differently. They're learning from that. When they get back out there, they were ready. Ojemudia got thrown into the fire late last year because he basically was the best Bronco cornerback by the end of the season, and he did pretty well. Can he build off of that? If that's the case, then the Callahan contract, which would be $7.176 million of cap savings if the Broncos traded or released him after June 1, if that happened, then again, you could use that this year or you could use it next year when you do have contract after contract coming up that you're going to have to try to squeeze in.
One of the most effective benchings I have seen since I've been covering this team since 2004 is when Knowshon Moreno got benched. And yeah, he was relegated to the practice squad as a first round draft pick. Mm-hmm. And when he finally got back on the field, he was terrific. And if Ojemudia can do half of that, as a number four corner, I think Fangio and Donatell would be thrilled.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I remember about No'Shawn is that when he came back in, I believe it was when Willis McGahee got hurt in 2011, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like a bat out of hell when he got back in there. Yep. And then, unfortunately, he suffered that knee injury.
Yep.
But to his credit, didn't lose the resolve. And when he came back on the other side of that, had a great season in 2013 for that record-breaking offense. And so sometimes that when you get humbled as a young player, if you take it the right way, you become a better player, and you usually become a better man because of it too.
I remember two things about No'Shawn Moreno. Number one, he would always tear up at the national anthem.
Yes.
And when he got pulled over for DUI, do you remember what his license plate was?
Sauced.
How appropriate. Coming up after the break, Teddy Bridgewater, I don't know if he meant to say this, but he did anyway, and boy, did he take a parting shot at the Carolina Panthers. What did he say? That's next. Not long ago, we would walk on the sidewalk, innocent, remember, all we did was care for each other.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive, Goodman, Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. Listen, 98.1 FM. 107.5 HD3, reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman, looking for wholesale lumber to the public. Yeah, wholesale lumber to the public. Go to rmfp.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending? Presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com.
Okay, earlier this week, Teddy Bridgewater did an interview, and boy, did he kind of take the Panthers to task. This is what he had to say. As an organization, there are things you can do better. I'll just say this for offensive coordinator Joe Brady's growth and the organization as a whole. They'll have to practice things in different ways. One of the things we didn't do much of when I was there was we didn't practice two-minute situations and we didn't practice red zone. What? Really?
I mean, and another piece of the puzzle of the Carolina Panthers and even Teddy Bridgewater's struggles last year falls into place because with Carolina, they racked up yards, not touchdowns.
Right.
In terms of touchdown percentage in the red zone, 28th. By the way, one spot behind the Broncos. The Broncos aren't exactly tearing it up either.
Right.
50.9% of Carolina's red zone possessions went for touchdowns. For Denver, it was 53.3. So one of the critiques of the Panther of Teddy Bridgewater last year was how he had a high completion percentage, decent yardage, but why a low touchdown total? Is it possible that some of it was due to the fact that they simply didn't work on it? You had college coaches coming to the NFL, and what is one thing about college football compared to the NFL? Dan Orlovsky made a great point about this. Orlovsky said, In college football, you got a lot more blowouts. Okay, you don't rely so much on having to win specific situations. In pro football, the teams are more closely bunched, so you have to get those situational issues right, and you have to maximize red zone, maximize 2 minutes. Something the Panthers didn't do last year. Not only a bad red zone team, they were a team that couldn't finish. We saw it when they played the Broncos.
Yeah.
2 minute drill.
Brady was
went
with
three him. And out. No, or four and
Brady's
out.
Brady was with LSU, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow and NTN. Not NTN. They had tons of talent. And granted, when they played Alabama, it might
Justin
be
Justin Jefferson.
Okay. You just throw it up to those guys and they have enough speed and athleticism to beat guys in the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Also, the hash marks are different. So you can use the speed on your team to find a way to carve your way into the end zone by blasting through with great speed. It is different in the NFL. And quite frankly, shame on Matt Rhule for not realizing where Joe Brady came from, where it was easy at LSU to score all those points, specifically with Joe Burrow. He probably thought when Brady came over here, you know, it's going to be that simple. So maybe we don't have to practice it.
Also easy for Matt Rhule and his teams at Baylor to score points. But part of that is in the Big 12, they barely play any defense anyway.
I wonder what's going to happen with Urban Meyer.
It's the question, right? I mean, and that's why...
Lawrence to Tebow.
At least...
Lawrence to Tebow.
Now, the interesting thing with Matt Rhule is that... Is that he had pro experience when he went to Carolina last year. He worked on the Giants staff a few years earlier. Right. One of the things that made him attractive as a candidate to the NFL is that he wasn't going to be blindsided by anything in the pros because he'd experienced it.
Well, I think what Bridgewater is saying is the Panthers did not set him up to succeed.
Fair.
Now, he's not a great quarterback. He's an average quarterback. But, and how many snaps did Christian McCaffrey play last year? I forgot.
I think he only played, what, two or three games?
Right.
Yes.
So if you don't have him, what kind of talent do you really have on that roster? So maybe extra practice might be necessary. Instead, they did less practice in situations in which you need to score points, two-minute drill, because you're not in a two-minute drill if you don't need to score points. I understand the two-minute drill at the end of the half, but generally speaking, the two-minute drill is all about we have to score to win.
Yeah.
You have to score to win at the half, but if you have the ball and you're down, you have to score to win, and you might want to put yourself in some of those situations.
Yeah, McCaffrey played three games last year.
And that was my point.
Yes, and I was actually thinking about this. Remember, of course, I referenced this game earlier. Broncos-Panthers last December, week 14. Of course, Carolina almost came back, but that two-minute offense that they didn't work on in practice basically ran into a brick wall against a Broncos defense that by then in the second in the cornerback core had nothing left. But that was also a game where Carolina not only was without Christian McCaffrey, as they were for most of the year, Carolina also was out without DJ Moore, who was their leader in receiving yardage and averaged 18.1 yards catch last year. So it's a little interesting what if. What if the Panthers had worked on their two-minute drill a little bit more? What if they'd had DJ Moore and they'd won that game and the Broncos had finished 4-12? What would this offseason have looked like? What would they have done in the draft?
Do you think that Bridgewater said this because he feels like a woman scorned? Or do you think he said this because maybe he felt that his growth was stunted? I mean, what do you think his motivation behind this was? He really didn't have to say this.
I think it was just, maybe not scorned, but frustrated. He bet on himself coming to Denver. He took a pay cut.
He sure did.
And that's another interesting thing about this competition, assuming Aaron Rodgers is not in the mix, is that Bridgewater, by taking that pay cut and basically playing on a 1 year relatively low money deal for the quarterback position, he is gambling that he wins the job and does well enough to where somebody gives him a contract of, say, 3 years, $60 million next offseason. So Bridgewater comes in confident that he is going to beat out Drew Lock.
Right.
And some of that is his own confidence, but some of it may be confidence in the fact that he's going to be playing for an offensive coordinator that he's played for before. And he has a GM in charge who was a part of drafting him before.
Want to just take a hard right turn here. Just saw something here from pointsbet.com.
Okay.
The Avalanche were the favorites to win the Stanley Cup before the season began. And now, as you might imagine, I mean, they could win the President's Trophy with the most points in the league.
But usually the President's Trophy winner does not win the Cup.
Right. Well, the Avalanche are taking this thing wire to wire with odds makers.
Yeah.
So they have the Avalanche plus 420 to win it all as the favorites.
Appropriate for Colorado.
Yep. Vegas, ba-dum-bum. Vegas is plus 500. And then the Maple Leafs are plus 650 and the defending champion Lightning are plus 700. Mm-hmm. What the odds are saying is the winner of the, for lack of a better phrase, Western Conference Finals, if that's what you want to call it, is going to win the Cup.
Although it's really the way it's structured.
I know the way it's structured. I get it.
They're going to meet in the quarterfinals this year, basically, right? Because you're playing within your own division until the conference finals.
Whoever wins that series.
Yeah.
They're the odds-on favorite to win. to Vegas, or at least pointsbet.com, that is the Stanley Cup. That is the Stanley Cup.
And you would rather have home ice advantage for it, obviously, for a lot of reasons. And oh, by the way, even though it's still relatively limited crowds, both Vegas and Colorado are places where they can get in about 7,500 fans. And in other words, you're talking about enough of a crowd to actually have an impact on the momentum of the game.
And one more thing, the Nuggets play tonight. They take on the Minnesota Timberwolves. Michael Malone was asked about getting respect. Great, great answer. He said, Nikola doesn't get respect. Nuggets don't get respect. I don't get respect. Who cares, man? All I care about is us staying together, us finding ways to win, continuing to prove people wrong, which I think we've done a great job of. Bravo, Mike. I love that guy. I really do. I really do. I like his attitude. I like the way he's handled his team. I mean, you can make the case that he and Bednar could be here for a very long time.
You hope so.
Yep. What do we have coming up on Masterpiece Roofing, just in case you missed it?
Well, you guys talked a little bit about some college sports earlier. We'll talk more. The Pac-12 has a new commissioner. That was announced today. Also, an interesting article from The Athletic. And we'll talk about some birthdays today. A very notable one.
Mine?
May 13th.
Mine?
Not that I know of.
No, it's not May 13th.
Okay. That's all coming up next right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports.
Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Listen to the show, by the way, 98.1 FM and 107.5 HD3. We should all have a day on the golf course like Jordan Spieth. He chunked a chip, nearly bladed a tee shot on a par three, hit one out of bounds, or not out of bounds, hit one out of the woods, from 247 yards to 9 feet from the pin, and shot a 63. We should all have that problem. I'm hoping to get a 63 on the front nine. That was Jordan Spieth's day.
I'm hoping to get a 63 on the first five holes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Time now for the final word.
The final word is presented by the McKenzie Law Firm. Don't wait before it's too late. Protect your family by setting up a will, living will, or estate plan with Dan McKenzie at themckenziefirm.com. Just in case you missed it, is presented by Masterpiece Roofing. Find out how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Call 720-242-6404 or go to masterpieceroofing.com today.
Just in case you missed it, today is Dennis Rodman's birthday, so a very happy 60th birthday to the five-time NBA champion, The Worm. He was one of a kind on the court and off the court. Will we ever see another player as unique as Dennis Rodman?
Maybe, but I doubt it. I mean, I don't know how many NBA players have the chutzpah to dress up in a wedding dress. That's for starters. And is he in the Hall of Fame? He is in the Hall of Fame. Is that correct?
He is.
And he should be. He turned rebounding into an art form and into a science. He studied it. And he was one of the league's great agitators. He was the type of guy you didn't want to play against, but you wanted him on your team. And my goodness, wherever he went, he pretty much won.
I think turning it into a science is a great way to describe what he did, because this was somebody who...
He studied angles.
Studied angles. Like, he basically was... He could see and anticipate where the ball was going to go based on how it looked when the shot was in the air. when it was on its way to the rim, he was in position because he anticipated the bounce of the ball because he knew how it was going to go off of the rim. I mean, nobody operated at that level before he did.
Everybody in life is given a couple of gifts. Maybe some of you haven't found it yet, but everybody has something. And for as much of a knucklehead as he had been as a player and off the court as well, he utilized his gift of being able to study angles and trajectory and made a Hall of Fame career out of it.
It's incredible. Even though in other ways he was limited, like this was a guy who only averaged double figures scoring once, and it was in his second year in the league.
Well, he didn't have
to. But it didn't matter. It didn't matter. He was a great player for the Bulls, even though these were his per-game averages scoring in the 3 years that he was a part of the Bulls when they won titles.
He knew what he was.
5.5, 5.7, 4.7.
Oh, that's irrelevant.
But his rebounds that year were, those years were 14.9, 16.1, and 15.0.
He knew what he was great at, and he focused on it. Kind of like Bruce Bowen with the Spurs focused on his defense. He never had to score, but he was a shutdown guy. Michael Cooper is a defensive player. The same way.
Dennis Rodman, always one of my favorite players. That's one of the few jerseys I have, is a Dennis Rodman
really?
Detroit Pistons jersey. Just in case you missed it, back in January, the Pac-12 announced that they would be replacing Larry Scott as the commissioner, and today we got the name of that replacement. I might butcher this last name a little bit, but the Pac-12 is hiring MGM executive George Kliavkov as the new commissioner. He has been the president of entertainment at MGM for a while now. He's also been involved with the WNBA, with the Las Vegas Aces.
Correct.
I think this is a great move for the Pac-12. Your reaction for that hire?
He's very good at social media. He knows how to run businesses. I was texting with a Pac-12 AD today about this, and I said, what do you think? And he said, let's all partner with him and make this league special. I think the ADs are on board with this guy. And after Larry Scott, and a lot of the ADs did not like Larry Scott, I see what I think they believe with what he did with MGM, and I believe they partnered with Hulu, and he's just really good at certain things. And that's what the Pac-12 needs. Better marketing.
Yeah, and better distribution as well. You talk about kind of partnering with Hulu, and is that something that maybe the Pac-12 can leverage?
Money.
To take their network from this thing that has been a complete bust.
Correct.
Into something that can legitimately generate revenue and meet the audience where it's going, which is toward the streaming services. If the Pac-12 network could get on Hulu, that would solve their distribution problems pretty much overnight.
Right.
Everything they've had with everyone other than Comcast. The other interesting thing.
DirecTV.
DirecTV. Yeah, because they're on Comcast. The other interesting thing.
I love
thing
correcting
here is,
you. It never happens, but this might be the first time ever.
Yeah. The other interesting thing is this.
DirecTV.
Yeah, thank you.
It's DirecTV.
He has basically.
You are right.
You're right. I was wrong. Yeah. You're right.
Well, you can actually watch the Avs on DirecTV, too.
Well, can you let me finish what I was going to say is the other thing
can
about Kliavkov?
Can I finish?
Thank you. Thank you, Ross.
Can I finish?
Is that he says they're not married to having their offices in downtown San Francisco.
Right. And that was a big point of controversy, too.
That's a huge bone of contention because you had with Larry Scott, not only did you have him on a bloated salary, but the perception that they were wasting this money on this office space in downtown San Francisco when they had a perfectly functional setup out in Walnut Creek in the suburbs.
Right.
So what's going to happen there? They may not even be in the Bay Area. He may even take their offices to Las Vegas, and that would be perfectly fine.
Uh-huh.
Just in case you missed it, Mitch Sherman of The Athletic had an interesting piece earlier this week, and in the title he posed the question, did Colorado's 2001 upset of Nebraska start the dismantling of the Huskers dynasty? CU won that game in 01, 62-36. You can answer the question that he posed, or you can answer this one. What pro franchise has had the biggest fall from greatness?
After a huge loss, or just in general?
A team that was once one of the top tier teams in their league and now is a lower tier
the
or
Denver
bottom
Broncos.
Tier.
Denver Broncos. After the 2015 season, they still haven't made the playoffs. They've gone through 10 starting quarterbacks, 17 right tackles.
I would say there's
John Elway's no longer with the team.
I would say there's one that's bigger because it's been longer, and it's the Washington football team.
Yeah.
And Washington won 3 Super Bowls between 82 and 91, yeah. And then after they got sold to Daniel Snyder, fell off the cliff. Washington kind of serves as the cautionary tale for the Broncos because at one point, their fan base and support was as rabid as the Broncos has been. Really kind of,
right.
they were sort of a parallel franchise in terms of the fervency of their support. Washington should show the Broncos that you cannot take that kind of loyalty for granted. They're the cautionary tale.
I was thinking maybe the Chicago Bulls, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
No, that's a great team because their drought has been, what, over 20 years?
They haven't even made the finals, let alone won it all in that span.
They barely make the playoffs.
Yeah.
In an Eastern Conference where pretty much everybody makes the playoffs, and you can make the playoffs with a losing record as the 7th seed.
Yeah.
That's how bad the Eastern Conference is.
But the other thing, real quick on Nebraska, as Danny mentioned, they have not had any kind of season that approached what they were before that game. That year they finished 11-2, by the way. Nebraska has lost at least 4 games in all but one season, and then the other they lost 3 games. Nebraska, a perennial national title contender that has become a second-tier program in the Big Ten. So, yeah, they've fallen off the cliff.
Well, hold on a second, and I know we need to hit a break. Do we need to hit a hard break right now?
There's not another show after this.
Okay. It's not like I'm dying to go over.
Okay.
But you know who else hit a skid after Colorado beat up on Nebraska? Colorado! After that, they did nothing. They did nothing. Meaning, they did win. The next year, they were fine. But then Gary Barnett lost his job more than a few years later. They really didn't have much of a... They never challenged for a national title after that.
You know, didn't...
Except for the... Although, yeah. Here. So overall, okay? So they were 10-3 that year.
Yes.
9-5, 5-7, 8-7, 7-6. And then you have to go all the way to 2014 before they did anything significant.
And literally, they've only... They were 10-3 in 01. The only time they've won... they've won double-digit games since then was back in 2016. The rise was real. Well, obviously it wasn't, at least not beyond that year. And didn't you want... I think you once told me that one of the reasons you came out to Denver in the first place...
I came out for two...
was to cover CU football. It was a legit big-time program.
I'll say that I came out here because I got the offer at Fox 31, but there were two teams that I wanted to cover more than any other teams. I could not wait to cover the Buffs, and I could not wait to cover the Avs. It didn't even register with me I was covering the Denver Broncos. Meaning, yeah, I guess I'm covering the Broncos. The Nuggets were kind of irrelevant. The Rockies didn't mean much to me. But I can promise you, in order, teams I was looking forward to covering, it was the Avs first, the Buffs second, and the Broncos were a distant third.
And what's interesting is that the Buffs haven't met what they were before then. And the Avs are only now back to where they were when you came here.
Correct.
So you don't have to take the blame anymore now that the Avs are
I'm not taking any blame. You think I'm taking blame? I'm not taking any blame at all. All right, that was Masterpiece Roofing. Just in case you missed it, it is hail season. And if your roof gets damaged, I've got a great suggestion for you. Call Masterpiece Roofing, and here's why. Not only are they going to do great work for you, but they can help you get your insurance company to pay for your roof. I don't want to say that they specialize in it, but I think it's something that they really enjoy doing. Because why let insurance companies get away with not paying for things where they should be paying for things? Masterpiece Roofing, they are great at doing it. And that's one reason why they were just recently voted Denver's best roofing company. So whether it's roofing, painting, gutters, window, siding, and by the way, all of that stuff could get damaged by hail. So it's not just the insurance companies they're going to go after for your roof, but all of the other stuff that they do. Let Masterpiece turn your home into a masterpiece. Go to MasterpieceRoofing.com. Nolan, great job today on MileHighSports.com. Danny, outstanding job on the radio side. Mace, this was a good show today.
They're usually good shows, but this was a fun show.
It was fun.
And it deviated from our plan, and that was okay.
Yeah. Deviated so much, it's 6 o'clock straight up, and we never go this long. Make it the best possible night you can.
She calls to speak to me. I freeze immediately. 'Cause what she says sounds so unreal. 'Cause somehow